Hi, my name's Fiona Campbell. I'm an associate in the Employment and Business Immigration teams here at Sintons. And I wanted to chat to you just hopefully very briefly, because I know you're all busy people, about the services that we provide in relation to business immigration. I'm conscious that this is something that's very topical at the moment. What with the current change, if for instance, in the right to work checks for EU citizens that have come into effect this month, and obviously sort of Brexit in general and changes to the immigration rules. So I thought it might be helpful if I could just let you know how we can help you in terms of business immigration. So what do we do? Well, what I'm going to do today is just run through briefly the areas in which I can provide you with some assistance. Now, if you are only going to listen to me for a couple of minutes, then make it this first couple of minutes. Please do stay with me after that. But this is where I'll set out very briefly what I'm going to cover slightly more detail on this webinar. But I can provide you with some guidance on setting up a business within the UK. I can give you advice on the implications of Brexit for employers. I'm going to go into a little bit of information on right to work checks and audits. And if anyone's been listening to my podcast, you'll have heard about that in more detail. We can advise on options for recruiting workers from overseas, the category requirements and obligations as an employer and sponsor. We can give you some help on actually applying for sponsorship licenses and the appropriate process for assigning certificates of sponsorship. And finally, we can give you assistance in relation to the obligations regarding a 2P transfer and when that impacts from an immigration perspective. So we do predominantly do business immigration, but I can also assist with some personal immigration matters. What I can assist with is visa applications. Obviously, for instance, if we've gone through the skilled worker route, then I can help your worker at the end of that process. And I'll go over that process in a little bit more detail in a moment. But I can help that worker at the end of that process to actually apply for their visa. I can also give some assistance with citizenship applications. Okay, so in terms of the first of my bullet points from my previous slide, in terms of advice for setting up businesses within the UK, it's not strictly speaking business immigration. It's really falling very much in between the business immigration and employment camps there, but I can assist with that. So in particular with regards to requirements for employing staff. So that's like registering for, as an employer with HMRC, obtaining the appropriate employee liability insurance and making sure that you have the appropriate like contracts and handbooks and things like that in place. So they're all things that we can help you with. Now, we can also provide you with guidance in relation to the impact of Brexit for employers from an employment perspective rather than, say, a business perspective. As I mentioned, and I would recommend that you listen to it, it's very short, it's like 5 minutes, but there has been a change this month in relation to right to work checks for EU and EEA citizens. So if you have any EU staff, previously, all they needed to do was provide you with a European passport. But unfortunately, now a European passport is not a valid ID in terms of giving evidence of right to work in the UK. So what you need to do is obtain new evidence of that. And I can give you advice on what you need to do to get the appropriate evidence of right to work for those EU or EEA workers. So in terms of the right to work checks and all and audits, that's something obviously that I can do. I've already sort of spoken a little bit about that in terms of your EU citizens, but ignoring sort of the EU element at the moment, but actually just in terms of migrant workers in general, as you'll probably be aware, it's a criminal offence to employ individuals who don't have the right to work in the UK. So therefore, it's really important that you do your right to work checks appropriately. And I can give you guidance on how to undertake the appropriate right to work checks for all of those staff. And if necessary, I can come into your business and audit how you currently are dealing with the right to work checks. So for instance, there's particular ways that you need to actually store evidence of the right to work, and I can come in and check that you're doing all that okay. Okay, I can also give you some advice in relation to roles being capable of sponsorship. Now, I'm going to expand on sponsorship in general over the next couple of slides. But in terms of the specific roles, because not all roles are capable of being sponsored under the skilled worker visa route or any other route for that matter. So if you are considering sponsoring somebody, you can come and talk to me about it, and I can give you advice on whether or not the role is at the appropriate skill level, whether or not you're paying the appropriate salary in order that it would actually be covered. So all those things I can look at first, because there's no point you going through a whole process of obtaining a sponsorship license if it actually turns out that the role you wanted to sponsor isn't actually capable of sponsorship in the first place. So I'll make sure that that's all, that box is sort of firmly ticked before we proceed on to the next level. So looking at skilled worker visas now, so basically that's the main way that you would sponsor migrant workers. That's the most common means of sponsoring migrant workers is through the skilled worker visa. That's the old tier two visa. So in order to sponsor a migrant worker through a skilled worker visa, you need to have a sponsorship license. Once you've got your sponsorship license, this then creates a certificate of sponsorship, which you then give, effectively, I say give, but it's basically just a number, effectively, that you give to the migrant worker who then uses that to apply for their sponsorship license. In order to get your sponsorship license, you need to undertake an online application. There's quite extensive guidance that you need to comply with, which particularly relates to the documentation that you need, and I can help you with that. So I can guide you through obtaining the appropriate documentation. Obviously, most of the documentation you'll have and you'll need to kind of collate for me, but I can guide you through that process. You also need to be able to show that you actually have the appropriate HR systems in place so that you will be able to monitor to an appropriate degree your migrant worker. That's something else that I can assist with. I'd be able to come into your business, either physically or virtually, and sort of check how you keep your staff records, for instance, to ensure that you have the appropriate systems in place, that if you were sort of reviewed by UK Visa and Immigration, they'd be able to check that you were doing things correctly. Then obviously there's going to be an appropriate fee, and I can give you guidance on what needs to be paid, when and by whom. So, very last thing. So I've told you that was going to be flying through. The last thing that I wanted to mention that I can assist you with is if, for instance, you're part of an asset transfer, and under that, or asset purchase, you're buying the assets of a business, and this is going to include staff to be transferring to you, and you find out that one of those staff is actually a sponsored migrant worker under the skilled worker visa. If that is the case, then there's certain rules and there's things you're going to need to do to make sure that you have the appropriate sponsorship license, as I previously mentioned to you, so that you can actually sponsor that individual. So that was a real quick fire through the different ways that I can help you in relation to business immigration. If you do have any questions about this, please don't hesitate to contact me. You should have my contact details available to you. And yeah, please do drop me an email or give me a call. It'd be lovely to hear from you. Thanks ever so much for listening. Stay safe.